This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. He is in North America with me. And Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil, also in North America with me for the moment. And we're looking at the states of Bolivia and the state of Peru, two countries that have seen disruption recently, protests, but they might be taking different directions. Joseph, I come to you on Bolivia because the way I read these headlines, there's been resolution of the protests. However, President Arce is making concessions. This does not look like the end of the story. What is the contest, Joseph? Thank you.
Well, the general strike that happened in Bolivia that started in the department of Santa Cruz, which is on the eastern lowlands of the country, and then spread nationwide. It began because of the census that's happening inside the country. The government passed a new law, the Bolivian National Assembly passed a new law that would move the census to 2024. The original date was actually in 2022, and then it, you know, obviously switched to 2023. The people of Santa Cruz felt that that was unfair because that would actually allow them to redistrict things in time for the general election that would actually hurt their representation in the National Assembly. So that turned into the strike. So apparently they're reaching a deal to where they're going to move the date of the census back to 2023, which is what the protesters were demanding. However, there's a lot of lack of faith on how much that deal is going to be implemented and if that's going to be something that's going to be solid and held in stone, or they're not going to try to change it. There's a lot of time that left to manipulate or to change things. There's an undercurrent here, John, that's happening in Bolivia. And this is people that know Bolivia know this very well, because this was on the surface. On the surface of the census, it's an important thing, but it's really just the boiling point of a larger problem that has happening inside the country, which is that the Bolivian government, under the leadership of Luis Arce, which is the Movement Towards Socialism, is his political party, and the proxy leadership of Evo Morales, who's still active in the country, the former president of Bolivia, they have been doing everything they can to essentially attack the identity of half of their country, which is the eastern part, Santa Cruz. This ethnic tension between the east and the west in Bolivia is historic. As a matter of fact, it's very surprising they haven't gone to a civil strife before. Many times they come close. And what I believe the undercurrent of the conflict that's happening in Bolivia is the Evo Morales and the government of Bolivia stoking the tension by trying to attack the identity of the people in Santa Cruz. This has been going on for a very long time. And so that's why I say that there's a lack of trust among the lowland area, the Santa Cruz department, and then the rest of the country and the rest of the government. They're not sure that they can trust Luis Arce.
And Evo Morales, what is his role here and what is his agenda? Do we know?
Well, Evo Morales has, since he's been around, he's always been someone that's in the middle of all the civil conflicts that happen inside the country. Back in the day, before he was even president, he became president in 2006. He was a congressman for a while before he got booted out of Congress. And back in the day, Evo Morales was known for stoking the water wars, which was a big conflict that happened in Cochabamba. He is also involved in the Coca Wars, which is the Cocaleros, that he was involved in the formation of those. So he's been involved in the conflicts inside Bolivia for decades, if not, much longer. And I think that this is the same recipe. He's an individual that knows conflict and knows how to stoke conflicts and then use those conflicts to be able to create more political opportunities for himself and for his political party, the Movement Towards Socialism, which is what I believe they're trying to do. I think they're trying to take elements of there's rumors of a division between Evo Morales and the current president, Luis Arce, even though Luis Arce is a handpicked successor of Evo Morales. I'm not sure I believe that there's that much a division between the two, but for sure, Evo Morales can use this as an opportunity to put more loyalists inside the government, which I think is what he's going to try to do.
Ernesto, I come to you about Peru because this did not look like good news. Pedro Castillo, the freshman president, the newbie to national politics, to international politics, has appointed yet another prime minister. And this makes too many changes for me to keep count of. The cabinet is brittle and continually revises itself. Is this a problem for the region in your measure, or is this Peru only? It seems an ungovernable mess at this point.
Yes, John, it's a problem for the whole region. Well, Peru itself, instability in Peru is a problem for the whole region. It's a key country. It's in the center north of the region, exactly in the area which is prone to drug trafficking activities and to organized crime. So the whole region is going towards a system of what some friends of mine call criminal peace, which is the peace among the cartels and their domination of their respective national governments, and well, with some strifes here and there. But the people really are not accepting that sort of criminal peace, and that's going on, I think, in Peru, in Brazil, in Bolivia, and elsewhere. So what happens is that maybe Peru, as Brazil, has to go through some more instability before we can have those countries back to full-scale democracy. I think we should avoid is that we should not try for stability just for stability's sake. Some people have that sort of argument, right? That any stability is better than any order is better than any instability. I'm not sure. I think there are good signs that people are not buying that sort of new regime for the region, that sort of peace of the cartels. So Peru is worrisome in itself, but I don't know. I still have the dream of seeing the whole region back to back on the track towards democracy, towards market economy and fully functioning societies.
Am I unfair to characterize Pedro Castillo as a rookie, a newbie, someone who is working his way through being president? Am I putting too much on him, Ernesto, in your measure?
Well, he's a rookie, but inside a program, a political program that has been there for 30 years, which is the São Paulo Forum, which brought Chavez and then Maduro to power in Venezuela, which brought Lula to power in Brazil. São Paulo Forum was founded by Lula and Fidel Castro back in 1990. So those people developed a whole network of power within countries and across borders, deriving their force from corruption, from organized crime, from terrorism. So Pedro Castillo is a fruit of that tree. It's a new fruit of an old tree. Okay, so it's not only a question of himself. It's a question of this whole system having to be uprooted. This tree has to be uprooted if we really are to see Latin America as a continent of real peace and real democracy.
And Joseph, just in 30 seconds, Evo Morales remains a shadow over the lands. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, this is absolutely correct, John. Evo Morales is still very active in the southern part of Peru, and I wouldn't divorce that from what's happening inside Bolivia as well.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We're headed north to Venezuela. Strange days. In from the cold. Maduro? Question mark. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.